Gay rights activists cheered two decisions yesterday by the U.S. Supreme Court. One overturns parts of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. The other effectively allows same-sex marriages in the state of California. Among other things, the DOMA ruling means many gay spouses will be able to receive Social Security benefits, will jointly file tax returns, and share health care plans without a tax penalty. Social conservatives decried the developments. Gary Glenn, one of our upcoming guests here, president of the Michigan chapter of the American Family Association, tweeted, "Marriage in Michigan will remain between one man and one woman." Now, the rulings could trigger other legal actions. Analysts point out that a great deal of law pertaining to gay marriage and related issues are still controlled by the states. Michigan is one of 38 states that forbid gay marriage. Here to respond to the rulings and share their thoughts on what they mean and what lay ahead is Emily Devendorf, Managing Director of the group Equality Michigan. Hi, Emily.
Good morning.
And over the phone, Gary Glenn, head of the Michigan chapter of the American Family Association. Gary, welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, Emily.
Well, first of all, Emily will come to you first. Your general response to the Supreme Court rulings yesterday. What's your takeaway?
We are thrilled with yesterday's rulings. We think that it's a great first step forward in terms of federal recognition of our relationships and that we should be seen as equal under the law. There is still much work to do, but yesterday was a good day, and I think we're still waking up feeling like this is a great start towards finally righting a whole lot of wrongs.
And Gary Glenn, your general response, please.
Well, as you had in the sound clip, we're thankful because it could have been worse. The United States Supreme Court could have issued an illegitimate decision by which they attempted to strike down all state marriage protection amendments and the votes of tens of millions of Americans who put those into their state constitutions. But certainly we're happy that Michigan's marriage protection amendment was untouched. And one big difference between Michigan and California is that if some federal judge here in Michigan presumes himself in the position to overturn the vote of millions of Michigan voters, including two-thirds of black voters and two-thirds of union households who polls said voted for the marriage protection amendment, we have an attorney general in Bill Schuette who will aggressively defend our marriage protection amendment, will appeal it to the Sixth Circuit and up to the United States Supreme Court. One thing Emily and I may agree on is there is a case in Oakland County which could very well be the vehicle by which the United States Supreme Court in a couple of years actually addresses the merits of whether or not Michigan and the other 30 states that have passed marriage amendments can do so.
Tell us about the case in Oakland County.
There's a case in Oakland County, two lesbian women who have sued for adoption of some children, but the judge invited them to make it a broader suit against the marriage protection amendment. He heard all the hearings. And then he said, I'm going to hold off and wait until the United States Supreme Court rules and take their direction. So he seems to be signaling that he is going to follow the example of the openly homosexual judge in California who one individual, you know, thought himself in a position of legal authority to strike down the vote of millions of voters. So if this judge in Oakland County does the same, it will be appealed by the Attorney General of Michigan to the Sixth Circuit. Whatever the result, no doubt it would be appealed to the United States Supreme Court. So in 2 to 3 years, we could have back before the court the same issue, this time with no question of standing, in which the court would actually be addressing the merits of Michigan's marriage protection amendment. And whether or not, you know, going a debate going back as far as President Thomas Jefferson and President Abraham Lincoln, whether or not five lawyers who wear black robes have the constitutional authority to dictate to both houses of Congress, to the president, and to all 50 states.
All right. Let's get Emily in on this conversation. Viewing comments on social media yesterday, Emily, gay rights advocates are clearly energized. To what extent might yesterday's rulings accelerate support for overturning Michigan's gay marriage ban?
Yes, I think that regardless of what happened yesterday or what could have happened yesterday, the momentum is just going to continue to build. We are ready to achieve full equality under the law, and we love that lawyers in robes, we do call them judges, regardless of their sexual orientation, lawyers in robes, our judges and our legislatures and our people, they're all realizing that we should be looking at the rights that we have denied LGBT citizens at this point in history, and perhaps trying to make sure that we are on the right side of history from here on out and respecting our Constitution, which should provide equal protection to all of our citizens. And that is not something that is going to move backwards. That is something that is only going to keep moving forward. So certainly whether we got bad news yesterday or even better news, there's enough work to be done still that we are just going to keep moving forward. And the base is really just building, and more people are coming to our side every day, so that Gary's friends tend to be the outliers on this issue at this point.
Gary, will the ruling lead some number of your allies to re-examine their opposition? Could it change the minds of some number of Michigan people who have opposed it?
No, honestly, I don't think so. I think when the debate is engaged again, that more and more people will move in the direction that we hold, that marriage is between one man and one woman. It's what's best for children. It's what's best for society. I mean, for a lot of people, obviously, it's a matter of religious conviction. We're concerned about the religious freedom and rights of conscience. You've had Christian photographers and bakers and caterers and bed and breakfast owners and florists across the country who have been fined thousands of dollars and sued because, as a matter of religious conscience, they refused to service a homosexual wedding. You had one church in New Jersey that lost its state tax exemption because it wouldn't allow its chapel to be used for a homosexual wedding. In addition to that, it's going to have practical financial implications.
Do you feel that you're being persecuted by the decision?
Well, no, but I'm not a Christian florist like the grandmother out in Washington right now who's just been fined $2,000 because she wouldn't provide flowers for one of her customers who wanted to have her service his homosexual wedding, or the Christian photographer in New Mexico who was fined $6,000 because she wouldn't photograph a homosexual wedding. In addition to that, I do feel as a taxpayer, I'm among the millions of American taxpayers who are going to have to pay the additional billions of dollars in increased federal spending to provide all federal benefits to the new category of beneficiary that's been created by the court's decision yesterday. That is, you know, in homosexual relationships, not only all federal government employees, we have a $17 trillion debt, and yet we have now an expanded benefits package for federal government employees.
Okay.
So it has practical implications as well as religious freedom and rights of conscience issues.
Emily, care to respond?
Absolutely. So the first thing I want to address is that Michigan citizens have already shifted on this issue. When we vote on this in 2016, there is just no way that it's going to have more support than in 2004, because the level of support has almost completely shifted since 2004. In 2004, when we voted to ban same-sex relationships or legal recognition of same-sex relationships, the support from the public was 59% for that ban. And today, Michiganders poll in favor of repealing the ban and replacing it with full equality under the law for Michigan LGBT citizens at 56% to 57%.
Gary Glenn, I mean, the attitudes toward this appear to have changed really dramatically since 2004. How do you factor that in? I mean, you place a lot of importance on the 2004 incident, but clearly, I mean, just in the last couple of years, attitudes appear to have changed dramatically.
Found that historically on polls on this issue that support for so-called homosexual marriage rises when it's not at issue, but when it actually comes to a vote, it reverts back to what people's, you know, actions are going to be in the privacy of a voting booth. There was a poll done by Gallup that said that 51% of Michigan voters would oppose the Marriage Protection Amendment and only 45% would vote in favor of it. The catch is that came out 6 weeks before the November 2004 election, and 6 weeks later, Michigan voters voted nearly 60% in favor of the Marriage Protection Amendment. A Democratic campaign consultant in Lansing, you guys probably know him, Mark Grebner, did a poll about 3 years ago in which he found that 90% of Republicans and 60% of independents and 49% of Democrats in Michigan said they would vote no on any future ballot measure to attempt to repeal our Marriage Protection Amendment. And just, again, as a practical political consideration, Mark and Emily, you guys have been around the block. I mean, any proposed ballot measure that isn't polling in the mid-60s before the campaign even starts typically fails. So we're as confident as Emily claims to be of what the outcome will be if it's put on the ballot again. I think Emily and her allies are counting their chickens not just before they're hatched, but before they're even a twinkle in the rooster's eye.
Well, luckily, we are starting work now towards repealing the ban in 2016, and we're not concerned about it. You are correct. We're not concerned because just within the last year, while Republicans are not polling majority in favor of marriage equality, their support for marriage equality in Michigan has doubled in a year. And the support for equality across the board in second parent adoption, in protections and hate crimes, and protections from discrimination and employment, housing, and public accommodations, those are all polling from 60 to 70%. In favor, in support from the average Michigan citizen. So the equality is now a Michigan value. The average Michigan citizen very much favors fundamental fairness, and they certainly do not see it as some issue that is in conflict with religion or with religious rights. In fact, even in the area of marriage equality, where it's often cited as something that is contentious and something to be concerned about by extremists like yourself. In fact, clergy members have always been able to legally deny offering same-sex marriages in their churches. It will be left up to our churches even after we pass marriage equality whether they want to perform marriage ceremonies between whomever is interested in getting married and committing their lives to each other in order to provide stability to their families. And that's what this is really about. This is about trying to provide stability to our families and be able to show our love and commitment to somebody that we have grown to care for and want to care for a lifetime.
We're talking with Emily Devendorf, Managing Director of the group Equality Michigan, and Gary Glenn, head of the Michigan chapter of the American Family Association, about their views on yesterday's Supreme Court rulings and related issues. Gary Glenn, this issue does involve rights to quite an extent, especially financial entitlements. In the case U.S. versus Windsor, the plaintiff would have had to pay $360,000 in taxes on her partner's estate. If her partner were a man who was her husband, she would have had to pay zero. How is that legally justified in your mind?
Well, I think it illustrates the point that equal access to the institution of marriage is not the objective of this political movement. It is to radically redefine marriage. Everybody knows what marriage is, a matter of common sense. It's been defined this way for thousands of years. And, you know, the question is, if you redefine marriage once, to meet the demands of groups such as Emily's, then on what rational basis before a federal judge do you refuse future interest groups' demands that you radically redefine marriage further to meet and incorporate their lifestyles? You know, I think the truth of what this agenda is, and when the Michigan voters are reminded about this and whatever ballot campaign may ensue in the future, you know, there's a lesbian journalist in New York named Masha Gessen. And she said recently on a radio show, I can send you the link, you could actually play it to your listeners. She said it's a no-brainer that we should have the right to marry, but I also think it's a no-brainer the institution of marriage should not exist. Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we are going to do in marriage when we get there, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie, quote-unquote. University of Michigan law professor David Chambers said, quote, by ceasing to conceive of marriage as a partnership composed of one person of each sex, the state may become more receptive to marital units of three or more. So imagine what will be the cost to taxpayers when the next marriage equality campaign is launched for polygamy and group marriage. That's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money to provide these type of benefits and
okay.
Our tax code.
You've stirred up an awful lot here. Let's give Emily a chance to respond.
Yes, I would say first, I don't really trust the convenient quoting because yesterday Mr. Glenn quoted Martin Luther King in order to defend inequality. So I don't really pay much attention to those references. And I disagree with whomever he is quoting on this particular issue. Our relationships already exist. We already have families. We have children that we would like to provide for. There should be nobody that wants to get in the way of us wanting to commit ourselves to one other person for the rest of our lives in order to care for that person and to be able to provide stability for our families. That is essentially part of the family values platform that the right has been pushing for many, many years as their own, when in reality it is most of our, it is within most of our value systems to want to be able to care for the people that we love, and that is all that we're asking for. And unfortunately, the law is woven all the way through the institution of marriage. So until and unless we take the law out of the institution of marriage, marriage is the only way that we can have equal protection under the law and not be discriminated against and not be disabled in our ability to care for each other.
Emily, what's your we're close to running out of time. How do you approach the next couple of years between now and November 2016 when the ballot, apparently your efforts will clearly be devoted to getting this on the ballot.
Absolutely. And we still have a number of other rights that we need to win to establish equality in Michigan, because in Michigan we have, of course, nothing for the LGBT community. But I have every month of the next 3+ years mapped out towards winning equality under the law through the repeal of that constitutional ban in 2016. And I intend to do that in order to ensure that we are able to love the people that we are lucky enough to fall in love with and create families with and our partner. And that is one of the most basic values that of the American society, and I think the Supreme Court yesterday established that we should all have the right to do that and to be able to do that equally.
This has been a stimulating discussion. We thank both of our guests here this morning. Gary Glenn is the president of the Michigan chapter of the American Family Association. Emily Devendorf is with the group Equality Michigan. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Mark.